We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Light Years. Sam Spandiari here, sitting across from me, friend of the show, third wheel even, Kyle Madsen. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm just the tricycle over here. I'm just hanging out. Sixth man, whenever you need me, I'm ready to go, man.
The Jordan Poole to our Splash Brothers.
Wow, that's cold. That's cold game by you.
See, I would take that as a compliment, but I know you and Andy both take that as straight disrespect. So,
at 100%, we're on the same wavelength on that. No, that's fine. There's worse players than Jordan.
There indeed are. You know, shout out Nico Mannion. Shout out Brad Wanamaker. The Warriors have really done a good job of bringing in players who never play in the NBA again.
It's pretty unbelievable how many just like. I don't want to say not good, but how many, like you said, how many players come to Golden State and then just aren't in the league after that? Like Jonas Jerebko is gone.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the, okay. So like Kelly Oubre is an NBA player. He's just not the right fit for the Warriors, you know, but those aren't the guys we're talking about.
Kelly Oubre is the Jordan Poole of Andrew Wiggins's.
Kelly, you know, I don't believe this to be true, but Jonathan Kuminga, you know, he could be Kawhi Leonard. He could be Jaylen Brown. He could be Pascal Siakam, or it could just be any number of Kelly Oubres, you know?
So, if he winds up being Kawhi Leonard, I will eat this hat.
I'm betting against that.
Although it would be pretty peak. It would be pretty peak if Jonathan Kuminga can't crack the playoff rotation for the Warriors. Gets traded and turns into Kawhi.
And then turns into one of the three greatest mid-range shooters of all time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's going to end up being a good player in the NBA, and I feel pretty confident he will. I just don't think he'll be that type of player.
No, I agree. Sense. No, I totally agree.
It's like it's an unlikely outcome. So we're sitting here recording this after the Boston Celtics win game 5 and the comeback is underway. And you know what? I'm so excited to check out Bill Simmons' podcast tomorrow because I already know what's happening here. Full comeback. We're getting the full first time 3-0 in the NBA. If you're watching this on YouTube, you got a meme of the Red Sox when they came back 3-0 with David Ortiz, Manny Ramirez, and all those guys.
Hang on, I want to stay on the jokes just real quick. Is Derek White Dave Roberts in this scenario?
Yeah, who's Bill Miller in this scenario? Who's
Bill Miller? Al Horford is Kevin Millar. I think Al Horford is Kevin Millar. Yes. I was going to say Grant Williams is Bill Miller.
Yes, I don't remember Bill Miller like talking shit to Derek Jeter to fall down early in the series, but I can go with it.
Maybe Grant Williams is 1-5. Maybe he's Kevin Millar.
You know, there, if they pull it off, there are the similarities in the sense of you and I are old enough to remember just how inevitable those Yankees felt and how much of losers the Red Sox were. Like, we're just like, yeah, they're a good team, but like, come on, man.
And especially since Aaron Boone had happened the year before.
Yeah.
It was a here we go again type of deal. The difference
is the Yankees won 4 of the previous 6, I want to say, at that point. And, you know, the Red Sox had like a 90-year thing going.
Yeah. The difference is that Red Sox team was super talented. And so were the Yankees. But that Red Sox team was really good. Like, we've already listed some of the players there, but the Celtics are way better than the Heat.
Yeah.
They're supposed to
Miami
win
Heat are
in
not
a row.
The peak New York Yankees. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. That's breaking news. No, but that's kind of the whole thing with this series is coming back from 3-0 is nuts. But if Boston had just swept the first 4 games, nobody would have blinked.
No.
So they got down a 3-0 hole, and then if they win the next 4, it's like, oh, that's probably about how this was supposed to go.
So give me your percentage chance that Boston comes back, because honestly, I think Miami's just going to close them game 6.
Yeah, kind of. Right. This feels like.
But this all, feels it take, like Miami, all it takes is one. All it takes is one game, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know.
That's a little bit how it feels right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's because Miami didn't play particularly well down the stretch of game 4, and then Boston got a win and then got to go back to the crib. Like, that's, I think they were like -9.5 tonight.
Yeah.
on the final line. Like, they were supposed to roll, and they did. They hit a bunch of shots early and Miami couldn't, and whatever. But if you told me Miami wins game 6 by double digits, I wouldn't be shocked. Like, everybody,
give me a prediction. Don't hedge. Where you at?
Give me Miami. Yeah, I think Miami wins game 6, 107-96.
And just the culture Kool-Aid is out.
Oh my God, I can't wait. A few days of discussion about whether Tyler Hero should play.
By the way, the funniest thing is watching these games, and like, Miami is the ultimate like junkyard dog team. Like, Gabe Vincent, you know, Caleb Martin, like even Jimmy Butler is their star. Like, they're not flashy players. They're just, you know, grit and like just leading into the culture stereotype and all that sort of stuff. And then they pan to Tyler Hero on the bench, who's dressed like Malibu's most wanted at all times.
He looked like if Beetlejuice played in the NBA.
Yeah.
Just Beetlejuice with the drip.
I mean, a few of them, like last game he had like the bucket hat, but it was a corduroy material or something like that. Like, it's just, it's, you know, you and I both retired those outfits from our wardrobe a couple years ago.
Say, so. Speak for yourself, bro. You have not been on vacation with me.
That's true. That's true. I
have a romper.
Oh, romp him?
Yeah, I have a romp him. I only wear it in Vegas.
Nice.
But I own one. Yeah.
Nice.
It's my party outfit. No, that's the thing about Miami is they got down 15 tonight.
Yeah.
And my thought process was, okay, sure, they could claw back into this. But every time they came down on offense, like with the Warriors, it doesn't always go this way, but it's like, Steph needs to take this shot. Unless you can get Klay open in the corner. Like, Steph needs to be the guy here. And that's the kid. Boston has Tatum. Every team has that guy, except Miami. Because even Jimmy Butler gets it on the perimeter, and you're not going, oh, Jimmy needs to shoot that. You're thinking, they need to work for a better shot than this. That's not, the Celtics will live with the Jimmy Butler 3 all day. It's just so weird.
But then Jimmy might hit it, and then it'll just be like, oh, playoff Jimmy. You know, so.
Yeah, the moment didn't feel big enough for Jimmy to hit those, though. Like, knocking down a 3 to cut it from 15 to 12 with with
you see him on the bench, very cocky, with the just like kind of laughing to himself, like I'm gonna close these guys in six.
That's how it looked. Mm-hmm. And the way this is peak Miami Heat. Like, this is the reason the Heat are the Heat. The way Gabe Vincent looked after the game, like just kind of nodding his head and high-fiving his guys and like, we're going to be fine. I just think that locker room they're the antithesis of the Warriors locker room this year.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, we'll see how it plays out. I do think, like, look, every Warrior fan is frustrated they lost round two, but I've found the basketball very enjoyable post-Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And watching it from a Warriors lens, it's a lot of like, what do they need to do to get better next year, aside from, you know, not internally fight all year and then pretend they're not. So that's the first thing. But like, it has been enjoyable. I want to ask you this. Like, we all saw the story trending, and it's been a thing since the Nuggets swept the Lakers. Like, why are the Nuggets not covered more often? Oh, they're boring, that sort of thing. Where are you at with Denver in this whole thing? Do you think they were undercovered all year, or do you think they just kind of shocked everyone and people don't know how to make it? And now we're here. Now we're here confronting the fact, shit, these guys might actually be the best team in the NBA, not just this year, but like the team you have to go through for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think because they continued to fall short, I said this all year, Denver's good. I need to see it when it matters.
Mm-hmm.
Because we hadn't really gotten that chance yet. And I think that's been the whole issue with Denver, is like Nikola Jokic, and everybody knows that he's great. But I think the perception of Denver was Nikola Jokic is really good, and he's just not good enough to get them over the hump in the playoffs. So forget them in the conversation, because sure, there's Steph. We've seen him do it. There's LeBron. We've seen him do it. KD is with the Suns now.
He can play in those moments. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
And now the Nuggets are here, and it's not a shock that they're here. I think the vibe is, they did it. Good for them.
I agree. And like, part of me is, you know, so to counter your point, Jamal Murray hasn't been healthy. Mm-hmm. Michael Porter hasn't been healthy. Right. Mm-hmm. They made some changes on the margins, that sort of stuff. So it's like, kind of like, of course this is the year they would have pulled it off. But with all that said, you know, how many teams have we seen over the last 8 years who were supposed to be next, supposed to beat the Warriors, supposed to be this, didn't happen, you know? And I'm not saying that to be like disrespectful to Denver or any of that sort of thing, but it's like, it's nice to see a team do it instead of just be the paper champions. And we'll see where they land over this, but like, it actually makes me excited to see how the Warriors respond to this in the offseason. Because if I look at Denver, and who knows if they're going to win the finals, I would favor them against both Boston and Miami personally.
I would too.
But maybe they come up short. But even if they don't, Jokic 28, Jamal Murray's 26, Michael Porter's 24, KCP's 30.
Either,
I mean, is a nice role
player. He's either 28 or 37.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, he's coming back. Aaron Gordon's 28. They're very much in the middle, and if not still able to improve, phase of like the team construction. Like, they feel, I'm not saying they're as good, but they feel like the 2016 or 15 Warriors, where you're like, no, they got like a couple more years of these players potentially even getting better. And that's kind of something the Warriors got to deal with. Like, they have to construct a roster in context of like, how do we get through this team, instead of just like, how do we maintain?
I have two things. So I want to put a pin in the Nuggets specifically for a second and get back to what we were talking about with kind of the coverage of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think this version of NBA media, the very, very online version of NBA media, has not existed outside of the realm of the super team. And I think that there's a recalibration in the way the league needs to be covered.
Yeah.
And I think we're kind of seeing that. Like, it went from what team is LeBron on and the Warriors to, oh, hey, there were 12 teams in the league that could have won the title this year. 12 is too many, but you get it. You get what I'm saying. Yeah. There was way more parity. And I think that's going to be the case moving forward. Like, Denver might be the favorite, but Philly's going to probably be in the mix. Boston's going to be right there in the mix. Milwaukee's going to be in the mix. You have KD and the Suns. What do the Mavericks do? The Warriors are going to be there. Mm-hmm. What do the Kings look like? Like, there are so many teams now that I think there needs to be a kind of recalibration of the way the sport is covered, where it stretches to, okay, it's not about what team has this star or that star. It's the role players and the collection of like rosters rather than, oh, Kevin Durant is with Steph Curry. The Warriors are going to the finals. LeBron James is the most dominant player in these. They're going into the finals. Let's get through this and get there.
Agreed. Agreed.
All right. The other thing. Last thing. We're talking about Jonathan Kuminga and who he could, if Jonathan Kuminga turned into this version of Aaron Gordon, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is this version of Aaron Gordon better than Andrew Wiggins?
No, but if no,
is he worse though?
He's different. Like they play different roles. I think like if Jonathan Kuminga could just do what Aaron Gordon does, it would be just a huge help for Golden State.
I do agree with you. Aaron, first off, all three of them are the same super toolsy, not really sure what they're doing with their tools, wings. You know, in Wiggins' case, the jumper came around in a much nicer way. Aaron Gordon didn't, but he finally figured out how to kind of leverage his defense to make an impact. He is in 35% of his threes, but like, you know, they're giving him.
He changed his game a lot from when he was in Orlando.
Yeah, in Orlando, he was trying to be a lead playmaking wing. Now I'm going to be the fourth, fifth option who does all the little things to help my team win. Yes. And I do agree with you. If Kuminga can get there, that's the fifth player in their main rotation. That's you got Steph, you got Clay, you got Wiggins, you got Draymond, then you got another wing who, you know, gives you 10 some nights, 20 another, but like settles at an average of 13 or 14, but is getting 7 rebounds and like making a few deflections and doing stuff there. Like, yes, that's perfect for him. I still think the upside's higher, but I do agree with you. Like, clear this bar first.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing is, I don't want to make it seem like that's his ceiling, because it's not. He could be significantly better than that. But if next year that's what he can contribute for them, and then, you know,
that's a huge win. Yeah,
absolutely.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There's someone else on the Warriors we need to discuss, and it took us 17 minutes to get here, and that's okay.
Anthony Lamb.
Exactly. 40 or 45 minutes a game next year. No.
Minimum 45. Min.
Okay. So Bob Myers is apparently supposed to address the media tomorrow, but that's been moved to next week. And, you know, KOC, friend of the show on The Ringer, talking about how he was only at the combine for a day and how, you know, it's a lot of Mike Dunleavy doing the GM duties and people are not sure what's up with Bob Myers. And so, you know, I think we're headed towards what is the decision.
Oh my God.
Bob Myers here. Honestly, like, here's my question for you. Do you, the longer this goes on, how confident are you that Bob's actually returning? Because I, you know, if you asked me a month ago, I would have said, I'm leaning towards him coming back. Mm-hmm. And now we're, you know, 2 weeks into the season ending. He still hasn't addressed the media. Everything leaking out kind of makes it seem like he's burnt out and he wants to take time away, and he could come around. Don't get me wrong on that. He could, but everything to me feels like he's going to walk, honestly.
Yeah. This feels like one of those things where he wants to walk and he's waiting around to see if that changes. Mm-hmm. I don't think he wants to come back, and he's sitting there going, but maybe I won't one morning.
That's where I'm at.
If extending it as long as he can to give himself that spark, like, okay, now I'm ready. But I just don't think it's coming, man.
That's kind of where I'm at. If he wants to be an NBA executive, like GM, whatever, like head of basketball ops, whatever the title is for the top guy, I just don't think we'd be getting stories about him being unsure if he wants to return. I think we'd be getting stories about, like, the Clippers want to steal him, you know, where he's trying to leverage the Warriors for more money. The way everything's playing out, it feels like he may want to just step away. Honestly, like, that's the way it comes to me. I don't know if I'm wrong on this. I just it doesn't feel like a guy who's leveraging the Warriors for every last penny.
Do you think, okay, I think you're right. Do you think there's a world where he does the, like, the Billy Bean move, where he's still like in the front office technically as like an advisor,
but someone else is running the show?
Right, he stepped away from the kind of day-to-day stuff. That way he's in the building and he can be around when he wants, he can be away when he wants, but he's still involved.
I don't think that's impossible, honestly. I hadn't really thought about that scenario though. But like
what was Jerry West's title?
Advisor.
Yeah, give him that one.
Advisor doesn't make 10 mil a year.
That's fine. I don't think I don't think it's about the money with Bob. I think if he's going to make a couple million dollars or whatever, I don't know, I'm going to say a couple million to be there half the time.
Joe, just cut him 2 to 3 mil. Just do it, Joe.
Just put the 2 million on that doesn't count against the cap. Just cut him a couple mil. Maybe I'm probably naive.
Well, let me ask you this. Your gun instinct on this one. Do you, if I said, you know, take a guess, do you think he's back?
No, I think he's gone.
Okay, so you're with me.
Yeah, I just,
if it's dragging out this long and you're unsure, I mean, I guess we all saw Moneyball. I guess he can listen to like a recording of his daughter playing the guitar and change his mind. But doesn't
he's driving to Visalia right now?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Going to go watch a UCSB prospect.
Let's see how Ryan Rollins rehab is going. No, I'm. It wouldn't shock me if he's sitting there right now going, I don't want to come back. And the Warriors, or he's unsure if he wants to come back. And the Warriors eventually work out some kind of deal where he's back, but in a different capacity. And Mike Dunleavy does the things like GM summits and the combine. And he
Mike Dunleavy goes to the Model workouts. UN and talks to the other GMs. Yeah.
That and then Myers can come in, the you know, whenever he wants during training camp. And Draymond's contract negotiation
let me
is coming up.
Handle this one because I know Draymond. Yeah, that type of thing. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I that's definitely in the cards. It just doesn't. It doesn't feel like it's trending that way. Yeah. William Mitchell asks a great question. The question is, do we trust Dunleavy to make this roster a contender within the next 3 years? I'm gonna take it a step farther because I don't think they have 3 years. Can they be back into contention next year? Steph's 35. He'll be 36 next year. It's kind of like go in or not. Do we trust Dunleavy?
So my answer is yes, because I don't think there's not a ton of wheeling and dealing that can be done here. Their options are pretty limited. On the other hand, do I trust him to negotiate a contract with Draymond or get Clay to take less than the max more than I trust Bob Myers to do so? No. But it's not that hard to look at their roster and say, okay, here are the guys that they can realistically trade. Let's see what they can go get for them.
Yeah. So my thought on it is, on the one hand, the Warriors are pretty... like, it's not Bob sitting in a tower not talking to everyone. Like, they're a pretty collaborative front office. So I don't think the brain trust necessarily changes. Right. On the other hand, will Dunleavy be the guy who can pull off a move that Bob couldn't pull off to maybe give this roster that final piece?
Hmm.
Maybe make that trade we'd all wanted but didn't?
Do you think Mike Dunleavy Jr. has extra gravitas with players because he's a former player?
No, because I think Bob's big thing is he has gravitas. Right. Like, Bob is very good at that. And obviously, clearly the core guys want Bob back because they trust Bob. They know Bob. And you hit a certain point, you're like, I really don't want change. I'm only going to play for another 3 years. Like, you know, that sort of thing, right?
Right.
So I understand why the players are lobbying for Bob. I guess my question is, can Dunleavy be like, you know, the Boston Celtics, Danny Ainge ran that show for forever. Mm-hmm. And Ainge at the end was the master of, oh, we were close, but we didn't make a deal. You know, a lot of leaks about deals they could have done, but didn't do. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brad Stevens gets promoted. Ideologically, nothing changed. Like, they all have the same vision of what basketball looks like. They're interested in the same type of players. But Brad Stevens was able to execute some moves that maybe Danny Ainge wouldn't have done. You know, he goes and gets Derek White. He gets Malcolm Brogdon. They do a couple different things that aren't like... it's not like they're changing what they're about in terms of the players they value. It's just like... he's a little more aggressive. He's willing to maybe trade a pick that Danny Ainge wasn't willing to trade. You know, like that whole, like, you know, mindset's like, let's just go for it. You know, we'll deal with the back end when we deal with it. And I wonder, and I don't know this to be true. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Dunleavy would be the same way, where it's like, do I think Dunleavy is going to all of a sudden be like, you know what we need? We need Russell Westbrook and Steph standing in the corner. Like, no, I don't. I don't think like it's going to have a rapid shift in ideology. But
yeah,
maybe it'll be someone who's like, you know what? It's okay, Joe. We can trade that 2026 first because it's worth it. You know. Whereas like Bob might be a little more conservative in those kind of manners.
So I wonder if it would be the other way around. If Bob would be more apt to unload assets, young players, picks, because he knows, hey, I'm on a 3-year contract. My contract runs with concurrent with Steph Clay and Draymond.
Let Kirk and Kent deal with this.
Right.
when I'm retired on a beach.
No, seriously though.
Mm-hmm.
And then would Dunleavy come in and maybe see Poole and Kuminga and go, no, those guys are part of a team I'm going to be looking at in the next 2, 3, 4 years. I don't want to have to start from ground zero with a rebuild in my first shot as GM. And so is he now more hesitant to give up picks? Does he really like Jordan Poole and Jonathan Kuminga or whoever? And now he's more hesitant to make those moves. That would be my bigger concern.
Yeah. I don't know. I like what I know about Mike Dunleavy, and like take this all at grain of salt, is like I do think he's pretty like aligned with Bob and Steve in terms of the players he likes. Everything you read is like he's attached at the hip to Bob, that sort of thing. You know, I think it's a good thing. I think they have a very good eye on players who actually matter versus players like winning players, that sort of thing. Now, how much of a gambler he is, how much like those things, those are different questions, you know? So would you agree with me? Bob Myers, he's a very successful GM. He's worth like end of the day, 4 titles. He's overseen it. Everyone who works for the Warriors adores him. Steph Curry adores him. Like the core guys, like his reputation is worth it, is deserved, right? I would say he's a pretty pragmatic GM. He's not an aggressive guy. He doesn't make a ton of moves. He's big on, I'm going to get the guys I want and I'm going to stick with the process instead of making like 8 or 9 moves every year. Obviously that's worked for him and that's done that sort of thing. I do wonder if maybe they need a little more aggression these final years of Steph's prime. Like any way you want to put it, Steph's 35. I think he's going to probably exceed the limits of most players' prime, but that doesn't mean he's going to play till he's 50. So
it'd be super tight.
It would be, you know, it really would. Now, but
I'm operating under the assumption that they have a 3-year window, and maybe it winds up being less than that. But in my brain, I'm doing 3 years. But the problem is we saw it this year in the playoffs. I think Steph and Clay ran out of gas a little bit.
Agreed.
The help that they need needs to reach a higher bar, I think, than has been the case in the past.
Then we like Ty Jerome as a development project.
Yes.
Agreed.
That was, like, that's why this year was a success for me.
My general perspective is it's not that I think the Warriors make bad basketball decisions in the macro. It's that their decision making needs to be on a 12-month basis, because Steph Curry is still one of the 5 players in the NBA who can be the best player on a title team. And there's really only about 5 of those at any given time. Right. You know, like Jokic is having his moment right now, but we'd all admit, you know, Giannis, LeBron, if he's fully healthy, you know, throw KD in there. There's Kawhi, if he's fully healthy. There's only a handful of guys who you feel confident
Jokic
are good enough to be the best player in a title team. And you kind of have to go for it when that guy's in his latter years. And that's the part where I'm just like, the guys are very slow and pragmatic when this guy is very old, you know.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't 26-year-old Steph where we're like, it's okay, we'll take the long view and maybe we don't get there this year, but it's going to pay off for 4 years down the line.
Yeah, that's part of what makes this offseason so fascinating. It feels like they're at a fork in the road.
Yeah.
And this whole time, like, now there's 2 timelines and they pick one.
Yeah. I mean that's where it is, and we're gonna talk about this, and that's the thing. Like, that's where, let's see where they end with this Bob decision. That's step one. That's step one in this whole process.
Right.
I feel very confident if Bob is the guy who steps away, they're just going to go internal.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
it'll probably be Mike Dunleavy, honestly.
That's the thing is, I don't believe in my mind, I don't believe their offseason looks that much different if it's Bob Myers or Mike Dunleavy running the show. I really don't.
Yeah. I mean, I where I push back at you is I give the Celtics analogy again, where like I don't think Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens have a different philosophy basketball wise. They just have different like aggressions.
Right.
And I wonder if Dunleavy is more likely to execute a little more. Like again, maybe. Like I said, he's not gonna go out there and be like, you know what we need? We're getting Trae Young. You know? Like he's gonna get like the same player that Bob would value. He just might be a little more like thirsty to spend.
Yeah. The way Bob talked it, like during the buyout market.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's don't need anything. Not going to do anything. Maybe he's a little more aggressive there.
Exactly. I got a last topic for you, which is a very fun one for us to get into. And that is LeBron James.
For GM.
Well, you know, you get him as a player, you get him as a GM no matter what. Like, let's be real.
Maybe that's the move.
Friend of the show, KOC. God, honestly.
He's doing a lot of burn today.
He is. That's my guy. A huge fan. He notes, you know, like, what's LeBron going to do? And he mentions he might demand a trade to the Warriors. It's been a thing for a minute. Now, do I put stock into it? No. My question for you is more not the realistic one. It's more as a Warrior fan, would you want LeBron James?
Yeah. Yeah. LeBron in the Draymond role? Are you freaking joking me?
But then what role is Draymond in?
The bench one. I don't know. No, I'm joking somewhat.
You get what the question is. So the question is like,
there's two. The basketball part of it is like, yeah.
Basketball's not a question. It's like, yes, he could play with Steph and Clay. Yeah.
good point. But then there's that part of me that I don't want, if Steph's going to win another title, I don't want it to be LeBron's title. And that's how that would go down in the larger conversation.
I'm too old to engage that. Okay, do you have to win? You know, that sort of thing. But
yeah. I'm not. I am engaging.
But you're correct. The insufferability of how, like, undoubtedly winning a title without LeBron would just have a better fuck you feel to it.
Yeah,
my question for you is, so I guess I think about it this way. LeBron's 39, maybe 40. He's using hair dye on his beard to like you know, hide the grays. Cause like he's gray just like Grant Draymond, but he doesn't want people to know. Would at least part of you not want to see, like, just for one season, the Steph LeBron? Like, cause it is a perfect basketball fit. Like,
yeah.
I don't think you need to be a genius to see how it would work basketball wise.
No, it's one of those things that I've spent so much time despising him. And I'm not one of those people that tries to say like, oh, LeBron sucks. Like, no, he's one of the two or three greatest players to ever put on a uniform. I'm not. But
he doesn't suck. I just hate him.
seriously, like every, even in this playoff series, like he gets a hand across the head and he's laying on the ground and he's rolling around. Like that kind of stuff, I just don't rock with it, man. And the theatrics and the post game pressers and his stupid ass wrist hand thing that he had. There's the basketball stuff and then there's everything else. And the everything else that I've just hated, save for all the stuff, the good stuff that he does in the community. That's great. But I all the other theatrics and off court stuff, I just don't. And again, it's not that it's like outwardly negative. I've just spent so much time hating it that I can't imagine accepting it. And I think there would be a part of me that roots for the Warriors that year, begrudgingly. Yeah.
Who is they're number one athlete who would have burnt you if they were on your favorite team? Is it like,
I would have thought it was Richard Sherman.
Yeah. I was actually going to go farther. I was thinking like a Michael Irvin in his prime.
I'm a little young for Michael Irvin.
The OOs are a real wash for most Bay Area sports. So
yeah.
Maybe a little Jeter on the A's.
I'd have been fine with that.
would you have an 0-2 though? An 0-1?
No. I mean,
no, you'd have been fine with it. I was like 2011. Yeah. In 2012, you'd have been like, this is cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is sick. Classic A's move. No, eventually I'd come around, right? And I think a lot of people would. But as I sit here right now, that's not, if that was their only move, if that was the one thing that you said, they're not going to win another title unless they get, then fine. But I think they can get there without them. And I think that's the larger part of me.
This is like when Hideki Matsui went to the A's.
Here's let me pick a good player. Kawhi. Let's just pick Kawhi.
Yeah.
I can say with my whole chest, like, I would love to have Kawhi on the Warriors. I can confidently say that. Injury stuff aside. But that, like, level of player. LeBron, I cannot confidently be like, yes, I'm all the way in.
There's too much history.
I would just
much bad blood. Too many LeGoat 23s in the mentions.
That's the thing. I don't need those assholes.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I'm with you, but I had to crowdsource it. I had to make sure I wasn't off the rails. So, you know.
What? We're talking about this online. What can LeBron do that Jonathan Kuminga can't?
Set a screen. Maybe. No. According to Steve Kerr, maybe.
Are we sure?
Yeah. All right. Kyle, I appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you. Anytime.